Good morning and bless you, beautiful hearts. Today is Sunday, February the 9th, 2020. And we're still working and looking at our position in his kingdom. And this is part four, heirship. Over the past few Sundays, we've been looking at scriptures regarding our position in his kingdom. First, we looked at sonship, and then we looked at fellowship, and then Connie continued developing the fellowship aspect of it. Today, I want to go into our heirship. This is what I call the three ships of his kingdom. I have a definition of an heir from Black's Law Dictionary. It's on page 580. An heir is a person who, under the law of intestacy, is entitled to receive as the intestate's decedent property, especially real property, also termed legal heir, heir of the law, lawful heir, or heirs in general. Loosely, a person who inherits real property, whether by will or by intestate succession, either way, an intestate is one who dies without having a will. Well, God has a will because he is eternal, and in his will, he set forth the order for his kingdom and how it should be overseen and whom should oversee it. The promise was originally made to Abraham when he left Ur. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 4, it says, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." I put that in because I'm 71 today. Then in verse 7, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this..." Look at the next word. What's the next word? "Land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." God has never lost his authority over the earth to the devil or anything else. Adam was deceived and gave over his authority to the serpent, the devil, but God never did. God retained his authority over his earth, even when the insurrection was attempted against him by the devil and his cohorts. God won, and he kept his earth. In Psalm 24, verse 1, a Psalm of David, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." The word fullness means and its contents. The earth and everything in it all belongs to God. And this is well after the attempted coup against God and his kingdom. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14, it says, "Behold, the heavens and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God. The earth also and all that therein is, the heavens are also part of the kingdom of God." People talk about being in heaven with God and floating around heaven with God. Well, heaven belongs to God, but man's position and place will be upon the earth, this land that God took for his kingdom. We tend to look at the stars and the planets. Man has his eyes now set on Mars. Of course, in the 60s, we were all talking about everyone's gone to the moon. But now we're looking to go to Mars, trying to escape the world. Our salvation is not there unless you're looking to get away from Christ. Mars ain't the kind of place to raise your kids. In fact, it's cold as hell, and there's no one there to raise them if you did. Even Elton John understood that. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 13, it says, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." On a number of occasions, God expanded the promise. That was the initial promise, but on a number of occasions, he expanded that promise into more lands, like the lands of their defeated enemies. And God gave his kingdom to Israel, and they were overseen by men and women, prophets, judges. But the children of Israel broke the covenant because Israel rejected God, and they wanted a king over them. And God told Samuel, give them a king. So God told Samuel to anoint Saul over them because he was the best at the time. Later, David was made king. Then when David dies, his son Solomon became the king. In 1 Chronicles 22, verse 9, it says, "Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon, which is peace. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days." And that's exactly what they received, and that's how it had. And in chapter 17, verse 13, it says, "I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him that was before him," or other kings. And the children of Israel went into captivity a number of different times, mainly because the kings walked away from God and went back to idolatry. Then in verse 14 it says, "But I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore." Verse 15, "According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David." Nathan the prophet was telling David what was to come. They had many kings that did not want to follow God and turn from him and ultimately corrupted the nation. Much like today, we want to sin and you can't stop us. We make the rules, so get out of our way or we will cut you off. In Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 25, it says, "And thou profane wicked prince of Israel, whose day is come, when iniquity shall have an end." They had so many kings that went back to serving idols. In Ezekiel 21, verse 26, it says, "Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt that is low and abase him that is high." Well, who wears the crown?
King.
A man, yeah. Remove the headpiece you had. You had a chance, but you messed it up royally. And then in Psalm 2, verse 1, it says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying..." Verse 3, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." That means death, because if you remember from, Song of Solomon or Ecclesiastes, the silver cord is taken, and that relationship with Israel was kind of broken. We want to sin, and we'll make our laws that okay the sins we have done. God, you gave Moses the law, but we can make up our own. We are smart. We have science. We have philosophy. We can do it. The earth is ours, and we can take care of it. It's our kingdom now. Verse 4, "He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill, Zion. And in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, it says, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. Hebrews 12, verse 28 in the New International Version. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, it says, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and he shall reign on the earth. Where?
On the earth.
Just like the apostles and Jesus Christ, we too are going to be kings and priests on earth with the kingdoms where the kingdoms will be located. Thus, we find that God is producing a community, and that community is a nation as well as a family. The members of that family are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, and we all have a common Father, the great creator of everything. That is, like the apostles and Jesus Christ, we are being drawn to a place where we will rule in that kingdom. In Psalm 2, verse 7, I will declare the decree the Lord had said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. There are battles that are coming up, and involved in those battles will be mortals and immortals, along with our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will completely crush it and overtake it. In Ezekiel 21, verse 27, it says, I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him, the Christ, the Son of David, the Messiah, who is the Savior of the world. Messiah means the expected one, the Savior, the Christ, the anointed one of God. That's what all that means. And the overturn refers to the three times Nebuchadnezzar overthrew Israel. After the Babylonian rule, they were ruled by the Greeks and then the Romans, not by God, nor by a representative of God. You know, at times they had either God's rule over them or representatives, judges like Ruth, prophets, and other men and women of God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says, ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. 27, for as many of you as have been baptized in Christ, been immersed in it, put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And what did ye inherit? Real estate, land. Yeah, the land that God said that was where God picked for his kingdom. God promised the Messiah, the Christ, an eternal throne, a kingdom. It is on this glorious earth, and we will reign with him here. There's no need to go to Mars. He won't be there. But if you want to get away from him, I'd say take a trip to Mars. But it will be lonely there because there's no neighborhoods, there's no neighbors, there's nothing to build with, and all you will have is what you took with you. no replacements until the next supply ship comes, and that takes 150 to 300 days, and you'll just be there in that dirt and dust. It might be red clay. You might prefer that dust rather than the dust of the moon, which was gray. But we will get to rule with Jesus Christ. Our position in his kingdom is one of dominion. In his kingdom, metaphorically used to possess supreme honor, liberty, blessedness with the blessed one of the kingdom, just like he planned from the very beginning. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." So what are we heir to?
God.
Land. There's going to be land, yeah, on the earth. We're going to be exercising rulership and oversight here on the earth. "And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffered with him, that we may also be glorified together." The promise was originally made to Abram, then to his seed. In Genesis 13:14, it says, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, eastward and westward." Well, if he's standing on the earth and he's looking northward, what's he going to find?
Land.
If he looks southward, what's he going to find?
Land.
If he looks eastward, what's he going to find?
Land.
If he looks westward, what's he going to find?
Land.
God told him, "I'm going to give you all of this as far as your eye can see. This is going to be yours to your children." And Abraham was looking at land. Where? On earth. So what would his heirs inherit?
Land.
"For all the land," Genesis 13:15 says, "which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed for how long?"
Forever.
Forever, yeah. Then in Genesis 22, verse 17, in the Bible in English, or basic Bible in English, it reads, "that I will certainly give you my blessing, and your seed will be increased like the stars of heaven and the sand by the seaside. Your seed will take the land of those who are against them," their enemies. They'll take it from their enemies. Then in Galatians 3:14, tells us where we get in. "That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." And I also wanted to add in Moffat's translation of 1 Corinthians 6:2 for your blessing. 1 Corinthians 6:2 in the Moffat translation. "Do you know the saints are to manage the world? If the world has come under your jurisdiction, are you incompetent to adjudicate even on trifle matters?" Then the scriptures tell us, "Ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hand." This big blue marble that's whirling through the heavens around the sun is God's choice of a home for his eternal kingdom, and all his children will be blessed to live on it with him. The only climate change we will see is a moral climate change, where we will all be changed to be like him and will be with him, and the earth will be glad. Manage the world. You know, you think, "God, I really would like to do something special for you, something, I'd like to, my desire is to do something for you that would be unique and special." Well, we'll get to manage the world. I would be glad to be the stockroom clerk or working on the loading dock. But God has a mighty and higher vision for his children than I ever had. And regardless of whatever our responsibility is, we will not be incompetent for it. We will do exactly the job God wanted to do, and he's entrusting it to us. So that's our great blessing. That's where we're going to end up. That's our position in the kingdom of God, is to manage the world in his kingdom along with Jesus Christ our Lord. So bless your hearts.